ser de rakatia, ser de rikia su. Mehe ser de rikia toho so de rikitia. Your goodness, Lord. Your goodness on your people, Lord. I see visions of God just dropping into people's hearts right now. Where it looked as if there was no way out. Where it looked as if you didn't know what was next. As it looked if there's some that you just didn't think it could go any higher. New concepts, new ideas, glimpses of the next realm, of the next place, new revelation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He said, "Rete ya suna dere la mondo rakata ine landa hasu." Beete de rikete ya tor de rakata hasa. Bo oto de rakata hasei. Thank you, Lord. Mo on de heseya, the booming voice of glory coming in to this age, coming in to this place. A releasing of supernatural wisdoms. The divine purpose and the divine design of my people and those in my body come into alignment with the wisdom I prepared beforehand.
Yes.
I heard guy, I believe his last name is pronounced Levowitz, but he is the tour guide for Billy Brim Ministries, and he said, I no longer want... He said, don't say that Israel is a miracle. Say Israel is a fulfillment of prophecy.
Yes.
What's happening in Israel is a fulfillment of prophecy. This was made to be their success, their victory, their ever-ending supply was made to be before the foundation of the earth. Your life is made available. A path has been made available. A destiny has been made available. A way has been made available that you walk out just a fulfillment of prophecy over your life. I was going to mention this later, and I probably will still mention it again, but I heard this most beautiful song by Reba Rambo's daughter, Destiny Rambo. I think it's pronounced Corey, K-H-O-U-R-I. And it says, he starts with the end. He already saw the fulfillment of your life. He already saw what you've been qualified to do. He's already saw what you've been called to do. He wrote the end and then flipped back to the beginning. Don't be trapped in can I get back to the place? You can absolutely get back to the place. Don't be trapped in, and will I fulfill? Just walk out what he's already laid before you. Just know that he's already made the way. He's already made the plan. He's already set it up. He's already called in everything that you need to be called in to fulfill the destiny that he has for you. It is greater and fuller than anything you could think or imagine. The weight of what he's called you to do, the influence that you are called to have, is greater than what your mind can see with a natural eye. Today I believe there's just a heaviness in this room that is opening the doors to get back to that place. Or to walk further into that place. That we wouldn't stumble over the steps, but we walk with courage and boldness. That our Creator already saw the end. He already knew today would exist. He already knew what would happen today. And that our lives are just fulfilling prophecy by listening to His voice and walking in those steps. Lord, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You for Your goodness in this place today. We thank You for Your kindness in this place today. A place of worship. That this place would be a place of worship. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. Glory to God. Have you went live yet? Okay, hold. Please hold. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Now, one of the things that the Word of God says to us that is a gift to us is those that they have called to be in the fivefold ministry. It says that fivefold ministry people are not just your average person, that they are a gift to the body. That they're a gift to the body. And so before we go out online, because the chances of Pastor and Miss Deb listening are high, I wanted to say this to you. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And so we want to honor our pastors, and so we're going to receive the offering momentarily. And so I want to offer to you the opportunity to honor our pastors by giving into the offering for both tithes and offerings, but also for Pastor Appreciation Month. And so we have been blessed with wonderful, wonderful pastors. We have been blessed with pastors who they submit their lives to learning not just about God in a knowledge, but learning about who He is as relationship, of knowing Him intimately in a deep way and then conveying all of that to us. There are those that come full with the Word, not just studying for a Sunday message or a Wednesday message, but because they live their lives in relationship with God. They live their lives, I'm with them like at least 5 out of 7 days a week, if not more. And so I see firsthand that their lives are lives where they live in relationship with Him from the time they get up till the time they go to bed. They feed themselves on the things of God so that they can pour it into you. And so the Bible tells us to honor them. And so for Pastor Appreciation Month, we are going to give them a financial blessing. We are going to do that both. We received on Wednesday, again today. This coming Wednesday, Pastor and Miss Deb will be back. And so if you have an offering you would like to give, I'd ask that you either make a check directly to Pastor Roxanne, or cash is fine as well. And if you'll give that to Miss Patty Garcia, and she will make sure that that gets to Pastor next Sunday. I will actually be out of the house next Sunday, so if you'll give it to Patty, she will make sure that she's going to do it here in front of everyone and present the Pastor Appreciation Gift to Pastor Rox. And so you can give in the offering. Just make sure you know in the memo, Pastor Appreciation, or on your envelope, Pastor Appreciation. You may also give online via Realm. So that will be under special offering. And in the memo, you can write Pastor Appreciation there, and we can make sure that gets to her as well. So any of those options are available. We are going to receive our offering and have an offering word. But before we went out online, I wanted to make sure that I could talk here in the house freely to all of you. And so normally I'm not able to pull off a surprise because I don't have the opportunity to speak to everyone. So by the time that we get here, they already know. But this time, I think we're going to pull it off. Praise the Lord. Next Sunday that'll be presented to her. So again, you can give via check, cash, or online under special offering and in the memo, pastor appreciation. Hallelujah. So we're good. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow. That's that anointing that I just want to stay in all day. There's nothing like the presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We good? Welcome, internet audience. We're so glad that you can join us this morning. Amen. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to receive our offering this morning. Is that the real time? Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Man, there really is no time in the spirit, huh? or maybe a whole lot of time. I don't know what that would be, but glory to God. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're sensitive to hear your voice, Lord. We know your voice. We hear your voice. We follow your voice. It's been my prayer all morning that we just move with his flow. That we just know that he had a plan for this meeting before we even got here today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." One of the things that, just in case, there we go, my pages blow, I'll mark it. One of the things that, I don't need that, thank you. one of the things that God has ministered so clearly to me is that our time of tithe and offering is worship. That giving is a heart matter. It's a matter of your heart being right before God. In anything that we give, it should be a heart matter. It says, don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it if it makes you angry, because your heart's not right. Giving is a heart matter. When you're giving to someone, get your heart right. Get your heart right. And can I tell you that giving is a way to get your heart right? I heard the most beautiful thing. I don't want to get too far off into this. Lord, help me. but, you know, if you're needing to forgive someone, give to them. Give to them. Why? Because you're making your heart right towards them. And you speak right words over it. And you bless them. Now, sometimes maybe it's not a physical gift. Maybe give them of your time. Give them your prayer. Give them your words. Give them your blessing. And when we're called to bless them, we're not to say, "Lord, I wish they would get it right." God has a plan on their life. He has a call on their life. In the same way he wrote a book of destiny about you, he wrote a book of destiny about them. And Jordan and I have had this conversation several times where sometimes it really takes everything that you are to think, God loves him as much as he loves me. And remind yourself, God loves them just as much as he loves me. God has a plan for them just as much. Amen. So no matter what you are giving, it should be a matter of your heart. Me too, girl, me too. Jesse, if you're online, John, if you're online, I would do it, but my phone is currently occupied. Could you please cut off the air? Thank you. Amen. When you were little kids, when little kids are forced to leave a birthday party and they run up to you, right? And they're like, go tell so-and-so you love them, goodbye. And they were broken away from playing and now they're disgruntled because they have to go hug someone goodbye. And they're like, okay, bye. There's not much love felt in that, right? Like, we should never be giving like that. It should never be a, okay, I have to throw it in the bucket. Okay, I have to get it done. Okay, I need to check it off the list. Mom said so, so I'm gonna go do it. There's no love in that. No, there's a difference when you're leaving, when we go to Michigan and we're, look, like Nina right now, she was lovingly telling her sister to have a wonderful trip to Fort Worth. Thank you, Nina, for being my wonderful illustration. There was heart in that. She was loving her as she was sending her off. There was something attached to it. When we give, our hearts are to be attached to it. Amen? And it says we are to give bountifully. And if you look up that word, it actually means that we're to give with blessing. We're to give with blessing, that as we're giving of our offering, that we're blessing those things that are going in there. What is that? It means that we choose life or death. We choose blessing or cursing. And so we can either bless what we're giving to God or we can curse it. We can be frustrated about it or we can bless what's taking place. We can be blessed what's going in there. We can bless what's going in with our finances. Do we want our finances to be going to God by saying, all right, we're getting it done? Or do we want our blessings going to him that, Father, I realize that I would be nothing if it weren't for you. I realize that everything good comes from you. I realize that the reason that I'm prospering, the reason I'm successful, the reason I have these finances coming in is because of you. And so as I give this back to you, there's nothing in me that wants to hold on to it because I realize I wouldn't have it if it wasn't for you. I realize I wouldn't even be in this position if it wasn't for you. I remember a story of Charles Capps, and he said that he had this farmland and it wasn't producing. And the Lord showed him, your mouth is causing it to not produce. And it was getting worse and getting worse and getting worse. And then he changed his confession. And it was more and more and more and more and more. It is so important how we're speaking over, how we're acknowledging, how we're coming before God. His scripture actually says in Hosea 6:6, and I think we'll stop right here for this morning, but his scripture says in Hosea 6:6, it says that I prefer mercy over sacrifice. You know what that word is there? Hesed. I prefer you would be in covenant with me over sacrifice. I prefer that you would be in relationship with me over sacrifice. It says, I pray that you would know the knowledge of God over burnt offerings. An intimate knowing of who I am. An intimate knowing of what I've made available to you over you just coming and sacrificing. Why? Because a sacrifice can be that it's just an act of obedience to get it done and out of the way. But relationship requires more than just one time of checking a box. There has to be power involved behind it to have relationship, to have connection, to have commitment. Amen. And so our time of sharing our finances with God isn't just about getting money in the bucket. It's about us communing in relationship in every area of our lives, about us entwining him into every part of who we are, every part of what we have and everything that we're doing. I do want to finish with this verse really quickly. In verse 10 and 11, it says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Well, you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us. You see, as we enter into this relationship, it says, do y'all remember Andre Bronkhorst, anyone, when he came and he talked about... One of the things he talked about, okay, it's me and Jesse. So one of the things he talked about was, it's great, was being a kingdom ambassador, or how the ambassador takes place in another nation. Well, you want to know something wonderful about that is when they're going to be an ambassador, they make sure Everything is taken care of for the ambassador, so their full focus is on the nation. You see, when you're in relationship with God, when you're in that covenant place with God, He wants to make sure everything in your life is taken care of so you can fully seek after His kingdom. So you can fully look into what He's called you to do, what He's called you to fulfill, and that others would be blessed by you being a part of that covenant. And in that it says that it will cause others to give thanksgiving to God. So not about how wonderful we are, not about how wonderful the things we can do are, but instead how wonderful He is. That you being in that covenant relationship will turn people's eyes to Jesus. Amen. So Father, we thank you for the opportunity to participate with you today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come in union with you today, that you've provided us a way that we could bring our finances into your kingdom, that we could be a partaker of your kingdom today. Father, I thank you that your word says that the devourer would be rebuked on our behalf, that windows of heaven are open to us, that you would supply abundantly for us, that we would always have more than enough and plenty left over to give to others. I thank you, Lord, for your exceeding abundance in our lives today. In Jesus' name, brothers, if you would receive the offering, if you would like to give online, you can do that by texting VCHL to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. Amen? Hallelujah. Whew. Man, I just want to like lay down on the floor. I'm not going to lie to you. Just feels so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We serve a good God. Amen? He is victorious. He is wonder-filled. He is a God of signs and miracles. He's a God of supernatural. He's a God of the most amazing love. His kindness goes beyond words. Amen. One of the things I love when I read testimonies about those who have went to heaven is they talk about the love of God in Jesus' eyes. So beautiful. Let's take a moment and pray over our pastors. Father, I thank you for Pastor Ox, and I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Deb. I thank you, Lord, for blessing them this morning. Father, I thank you that your goodness goes before them. I thank you, Lord, that your favor surrounds them like a shield. Father, I thank you for your supernatural blessing being upon them today, that it is working as they walk into everywhere that they need to walk today. Father, I thank you that your favor is superseding every area and communication they come into. They find favor with you and they find favor with man. I thank you, Lord, that they find favor in the stores they go into. They find favor in everything that they're present in doing on this day, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for blessing, keeping, protecting them. I thank you that angels go about them, making a way for them in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be in this house, submitted to these women of God. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this service today. I thank you, Lord, that our hearts are ready to receive your word. We hear your voice. We know your voice. Father, I thank you that you would think through my mind, that you would speak through my vocal cords. I thank you, Lord, that your anointing is present to do the work that you've called for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to give a quick recap of Wednesday because it's going to tie right into where we're going today. And so I'm going to try to do it very quickly. Because I really want to get to where we're going. Amen. On Wednesday night, we talked about covenant and about being covenant-minded and being focused in and locked into the place of covenant. Amen. And so in that, we talked about not just being Christian-minded, but being covenant-minded. And I told you about in Acts chapter 11 that as they were called Christians in that place, it wasn't because they weren't going to hell that they were called Christians. They weren't going to hell. But that was not what identified them as Christians. The people of Antioch called them Christians because it said that they were full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. They were called Christians because when you see the translation from Christian to English in the Passion Translation, it says they were called anointed ones. They saw the anointing of Jesus on these people, and that's why they were identified as Christians. You see, too often the phrase has become coined, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, but are they really digging into the word of what that means? Are they living a life that says, now I'm not saying you're not a Christian if you don't walk in the fullness of God. I'm not saying that, but I want us to go back to the place where Christian just doesn't mean that we have fire insurance and we're not going to hell someday. Christian means that we're called to be something. We're called to be someone. We're called to walk in something so much greater, that goodness of God, how great he is, how good he is able to be seen in our lives. And something just being good on what the world determines as good does not mean it's anointed. Pastor has taught us over and over again that the anointing means that burdens are being removed and yokes are being destroyed. So just because a singer sounds good does not mean it's anointed. Just because a preacher knows how to use words that are good communication does not mean it's anointed. Just because someone has a talent does not mean it's anointed. It is anointed when the power of God is working with them and it's removing burdens and destroying yokes. Now let me tell you, anything that you're called to do can be anointed because that's how he set it up. He has called you to go into a place where it may be that as you walk into a sales atmosphere, the anointing is present to remove the burden and destroy the yoke on those that are around you. As you walk into a classroom, the anointing is present to remove the burden and destroy the yoke of those in that classroom. As you are in the air and you are flying, that the anointing is present to remove the burden and destroy the yoke. As you're called to sell jewelry, as you're called to sell real estate, as you're called to create as an architect, whatever it is you're called to do, as you are walking in the calling of God on your life, the anointing should be present to remove burdens and destroy yokes. So as the body of believers, let's walk through quickly, really quickly, thank you, Jesus, getting to this place. And I think the first place we get there is by understanding our covenant with God. Brother Copeland says, one problem we as believers have today is we don't have a covenant mindset. We live in a world where it's often said that covenants or contracts are made to be broken. A world that has little to no clue about what it means to be in covenant relationship. Whether those relationships are spouses, family, business partners, church, or with God. But he says, understanding covenant will make a world of difference in your life and take you to places in God you never imagined. Understanding covenant will take you to a place in God, to areas you've never imagined. We weren't created to just be three-dimensional beings, and I hope this isn't too deep for y'all this morning. We were created to be multidimensional beings. How do we know that? Because I know that my body is standing right here in this room, but my spirit man, it says, is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that must mean that I'm not just operating here. Thank you, Lord. So that covenant that was issued, there's a three-step process to that covenant. Number one is an invitation. Number two is entering the covenant. And number three is maintaining the covenant. The invitation, we know God has called us, right? The scripture tells us that he has called us. In Romans 8:28, it says that he works all things together for those who he loves, who he has called. We have been called by God into this covenant. He has called us to be a part of the covenant of God. Number two, he says that we've entered into the covenant. Now, we talked about this on Wednesday night, so I'm not going to stay here super long, but I do want to go through it for anyone who wasn't here. When we entered into the covenant was made, our covenant I'm talking about was made, because there's actually, if you were to look at this, you could say Old Testament, New Testament, but we're looking at Old Covenant, New Covenant. There are multiple covenants within this word, and in each one of them, in each covenant that was made, you can see the fulfillment of the covenant that came with Jesus. And so, our covenant was made. The terms were decided. That's what happens when entering into the covenant between God and Jesus. It is an unfailing place. Thank you, Lord. So we talked about that when we receive him, when we receive him and become a part of that covenant, that we're receiving his nature. It said in John 6:56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As we're entering into that covenant, because in 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says the covenant is found in his blood, right? So as we're coming into that covenant, he's becoming us and we're becoming him. He's coming into us and we're becoming him. I guess that would be a more accurate wording. But it says, I abide in you and you abide in me. So our nature is to become more like Jesus. That's what this covenant is about. The importance of eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood is the sacrifice that occurred so we could enter into the covenant with God. This meal of communion is our constant reminder. And so this word abide is about continuously, purposefully abiding on the inside of him. Amen. So this is the part that I really want to get to today. And so you can go back over and hear some more about the inviting and entering in from Wednesday. But I want to talk about maintaining the covenant. As far as the fulfilling the terms and accomplishing the payment, we talked about that. That was Jesus was working on that, right? Jesus is the one who came in. He's the one who paid the price. He's the one who satisfied the requirements. He's the one who came in and took part on our behalf. He did that so that it couldn't be faltered. He did that so that it couldn't be broken. Now I want to transition a little bit. So when all of that took place, we were given the opportunity to enter to be a part of that covenant. And that gave us a part to play. God is a chess player. Any chess players in here? Okay, three of us, four of us. Ooh, Paisley plays chess. Paisley actually is the one who taught me how to play chess. And at first I was not very good at it, but then I learned, oh, I understand how this works. It's a game of strategy. So we also play this other game at home. It's called, I think you pronounce it Blockus. Addie says Blockus. And so on it, it's a board, and there's four different colors of these little shapes. And your goal is to get all of your shapes on there with, being able to use all of your pieces. I actually think they got it in GT at Colt. That's where it came from, and that's how we found out about it. And so, I really like that game a lot, and I probably really like it a lot because I strategize and I win a lot. I like to win. Jesus likes to win. I also like to win. Amen. But in it, you have to go in order, right, in the circle to make sure your places are in there. And the goal is to use all of your pieces. Well, I found that we get really excited when we start seeing what it is that we can do, and we go out of turn and we start playing pieces when we shouldn't be playing pieces. And then we find out we get to the end and a couple of us have this many pieces and everyone else has this many pieces. Not mentioning any names, Paisley. And so, oh, I did mention, sorry. But what happens is then you can't really get to the finish that you need to get to because you went out of turn. You have to move in the place that you're called to move. And so I want to tell you what Brother Hagin said
about God, you're like, that's all great, Danny, but what are we getting at here? Let me tell you. God's chess playing requires you to move. And then he moves. And God will never move when it's your move. But he will never fail to move when it's his move. So we don't want to get out of line and get out of turn and start flipping and slamming all the pieces and running out of pieces and thinking we've finished when we've moved out of turn. We want to hear what it is that he's saying, and we want to know what it is that he's doing. And so I mentioned to y'all on Wednesday night that there's two sides of Hesed. What is Hesed? Miss Billy says it's the essence of covenant. She said, what does that mean? It's everything that needs to be fulfilled in a covenant. It's all of the purposes. And you can know that God will never fail to do his part. God will always finish his part. And when we look at Hesed, so that's like I told you earlier, that's that scripture. I would rather have Hesed. What I would rather have our covenant fulfilled than your sacrifice. If you go back and look, I think it's used 202, but definitely over 200 times in scripture, speaking of his Hesed. Hesed is what they're calling upon in the New Testament, even though you won't see it when they're calling, Son of David, have mercy on me. They're calling after his Hesed. Your covenant says that you'll give this to me. Your covenant says you've made this available to me. Your covenant says that you'll fulfill this to me. And so they're reaching out on that thing that says, I believe you will do what you said you will do. Hesed is what Jesus was made manifest. He came into the earth as the fulfillment of all covenant. In Ephesians 3:19, it says, to know the love of Christ, to know, I believe you could even say to know this Hesed, but I may be speaking a little out of turn. That's not like a direct translation, okay? That's just a Danny interpretation. And still a work in progress, but I'll leave it on the record. To know the Hesed which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God, that on the inside, wall to wall, God lives in you. It says that you are the temple of God. God isn't a far off being that someday you get to be with. No, it says that he dwells, he indwells, he abides on the inside of you. That's when we took communion, I said, picture that you're eating the flesh, you're eating the blood, that it's becoming one with yourselves, because wall to wall on the inside, that's who we're called to be. We're called to be walking around as the anointed ones, the ones who are embodying Jesus. Never to take his place, but literally being his hands and feet in the earth. Literally fulfilling his plan, his fullness in this earth. Intimately knowing all that he's called us to do. Not for God to be a short order cook. Okay, let me tell you, if someone knows about being a short order cook in my house, it was me. And finally I said, listen, kids, if you don't want to eat what I'm cooking, you're going to cook for yourself, because I'm done. I'm done cooking something for you and then cooking something for you and then cooking something for you, and then I'm eating something different. Oh, no. So let me tell you, my kids cook for themselves most nights because they're picky. And if they don't want to eat what I'm eating, I'll supply stuff in the fridge, but you're going to cook it yourself. But we aren't to just, amen. But we aren't to just say, without relationship connection, this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Just add it to the car, add it to the car, add it to the car. Okay, I'm checking out now, I'm checking out now, I'm checking out now. Okay, but what about relationship? Oh, Lord, you want me to say that? Most of the time when the relationship, the love is not there and gifts are just coming, there's manipulation involved. That was not in my notes. Thank you, Jesus. And let me tell you this. There's absolutely nothing wrong with believing God for stuff or for things or for wisdom or for revelation. Nothing wrong with it. But we believe on Him and seek after Him and we go after Him. Actually, Miss Lynn taught about this at Autumn Assembly. She said that the righteousness of God is His nature becoming our nature. So why is all of this being added to us? Well, if you take Matthew 6, it says, as we seek after His righteousness, all stuff is added to us. Stuff. It doesn't say stuff, but the Danny translation apparently does. All stuff is added to you. Why? Because you're being like Him and whatever He needs to fulfill the call of God on His life came into being. And as you fulfill the call of God on your life, whatever you need in your life to fulfill the call of God on your life, it's going to come into being. So He is moving and working, fulfilling every part of His side of the covenant. So now we must fulfill our side of the covenant. So I told you, as I was searching out this word hesed, I found that Ms. Billy was using another word that was, again, I'll say hasid. It's C-H-A-S-I-D rather than C-H-E-S-E-D. And David uses it, and he says in Psalm 86, verse 2, preserve my life, for I am holy. And that word holy there isn't set apart. It's the word hasid. And that word hasid means I am faithful. I am a covenant keeper. I am a partaker of this covenant that we've entered into. I will show up. I will do my part. I will enter in. I will be who You've called me to be. And so I can be honorable to the word of what You've issued into my life. And so the fulfillment of our side of the covenant, right? It's not the fulfillment of the covenant as a whole because it's been fulfilled. The requirements have been made. But for us to continue to walk faithfully in this plan is for us to do what God has told us to do, to fulfill the anointing that He's called on our lives. And I want to share with you out of the book, My Time in Heaven by Richard Sigmund. So Richard Sigmund went to heaven and he had an experience, an encounter there. And I just want to share a brief part with you about that, because I think it so clearly marks what it is that I'm telling you. It says that I went into the most beautiful spot in heaven is what he calls this section. The throne room of God was the most beautiful spot in heaven. During my second visit to the throne room, I was taken to an area that I had not noticed during my first visit because I had been so overwhelmed by the presence of God. I was to experience even more this time. In this area, there was what appeared to be rooms in a high arched cathedral. They were all along a sidewall across from a living statue of the Lord Jesus. Again, the statue was alive. It moved and it spoke. I have no way of explaining it. I can only tell you what I witnessed in the best way that I know how. The covenant of Jehovah. The rooms had arched entrances that led into a large area that was totally private. I saw my name, Richard of the family of Sigmund. And under it, these words, the covenant of Jehovah. And the redeemed of the Lamb. I was shaking and unable to make even a sound. Sometimes silence is golden. On a beautiful pulpit-like structure was a book that looked like a Bible. It was signed across the front with these words, "My covenant will not break. I will not alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth." Psalm 89, right? We read that. I was astonished. I was reminded of the shed blood of the Lord and of the price He paid to redeem me. And again, I wept uncontrollably. Now, I want you to listen to this part because it says it looked like a Bible, not that it was a Bible. The book opened by itself, and then suddenly Jesus was there by my side. He said, "This is my plan for your life, and I will honor it as long as you honor it and live under my Father's demand for your life." I fell at His feet and cried, "Holy is the Lord my God." I never knew the power of covenant in that realm before. And I will never forget it. It shall stand for eternity. There were other rooms also, one for each born-again believer. You see, God has plans for each one of us. Eternal plans. Amen? So think of that. The testimony of Richard Sigmund says that the book with the plans for his life had written upon it, "The covenant will not break. He will keep his covenant with you." You also have a book in heaven. The Hesed for our life includes the fulfillment of everything that we need. Everything he's called us to do. That's our part. That's our move. Amen? And so I woke up one morning and I heard the Lord say, "Hesed is connected to your anointing. It's the fulfillment of his covenant plan that you would walk in the fullness of his plan." I heard Bill Johnson say recently, "If you knew who God created you to be, you wouldn't want to be anyone else." I want to read it again because I want you to get that on the inside of you, because too often we're so distracted by what other people are doing near to us. We're so distracted by what it is that they're called to do, and we try to imitate their call, and we try to imitate their plan, and we try to be who they are. That if we understood the fullness of who he's called us to be, right? So he said, if you knew who God created you to be, you wouldn't want to be anyone else. And so this is where I was telling you that I had already written in my notes about the song from Miss Destiny. And she said that he starts with the end in mind. And she talks about in that song that he starts with the end of the story and then goes back to the beginning. He sees the fullness on your life. And sometimes the fullness, when we see who he's called us to be, we can't see how we're going to get from where we are today to where he called us to be. And so we start trying to figure it out. We try to start making our own plans, and we try to search and do and navigate through. But can I tell you the other part that she says in that song is, a sculptor knows what the sculpture will be before it's even chipped away. And they say that Michelangelo, he did David, right? Thank you, fact check. I knew I could count on you. Fact check. I'll go fact check number two. It said that he saw David in that piece of rock before he ever started making that sculpture. Can I tell you, he saw the fullness of who you're called to be. He saw the fullness of who you were called to be. It said he knew you even in your mother's womb. That he had formed your plan and formed your days. He thinks your thoughts before you even think them. He saw the fullness of it. The weight of that is deep. So that's why I was saying that if we see ourselves as a fulfillment of prophecy, why? Because the book's been written about who you've been called to be in life. The book's been written about the fullness of your life. Stop minimizing it to just this day and that day and this day and that day. And follow what he's called you to do. So when you walk out the will of God on your life, you walk as a new creation. Him in you, you in him. And corporately, as we move and as we walk into this place, we become a new breed. We're no longer just people who are living, who have an awareness of who God is. We're no longer a people who just aren't going to hell. We're no longer a people who just go to church. We're walking around as anointed ones, walking with the anointing of God on us. And so our covenant-mindedness causes us to not just go day in, day out, to wake up, go to bed, and do the same thing over again. But it causes us to be purposeful in the way that we walk, in the way we make contact with people, in the way that we reach out to people, in the way that we touch people, in the way that we involve ourselves with one another. And in that, a breed is created that will touch the earth, that will touch the world. How many of you believe that we're in the end of the end days? Well, to be those people, we need to keep walking in that thing. And so I found this prophecy. I was actually looking for something, and I found this in the midst of that. And it's a prophecy by Brother Hagin from 1975, and it's called The New Breed. And I'm not going to read all of it to you, but I am going to read part of it to you. And it says, "And know ye this, that the Lord has an army. Yea, he is preparing his own. No, the church will no longer grow weaker and weaker and weaker and lie down and expire, but she shall grow stronger and stronger and stronger, for a fresh visitation of heaven is at hand. Yea, a new revelation of truth shall burst forth in all of its glory unto those who are called by his name. And they shall realize that in their grasp, in their hand, all the while was that mighty name that is above every name. And they, with that name upon their lips and with faith in their hearts, will speak forth unto the enemy and say, thus far shall ye go no further. And he shall desist in his maneuvers and stop in his operations. And the hand of the enemy shall be stayed. And the harvest that is to be reaped shall be reaped. For the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. And so men, yea, if you please, some would call them a new breed, shall rise up and go forth. They shall not be afraid of the devil. They shall have no fear of men, but with boldness shall they speak and shall challenge the very strongholds of the devil. And there shall be a great shaking, but those who are settled in upon the rock of the ages shall stand and shout above the storm and see above the darkness the might of God breaking on the horizon of time, and they shall be reflectors of that light that shall shine forth into the darkness. And the blinded eyes of Satan's king shall be opened. Men inspired by God, equipped by the Spirit, called by the Lord, set in the body of Christ to shine, testify, preach, minister, so like a giant that body shall rise, shall shake off those things which would hinder and break asunder the bonds of tradition and religion that has them bound, and go forth with pure revelation of truth that'll cause the lame to leap for joy and the blind to see both spiritually and physically. And there shall sound throughout the land the cry and the hue of Hosanna to the Lord. Hallelujah. Great is his name and greatly to be praised. And the last souls shall have been won." I love this part. "And the last spirit shall have been saved. And that body shall have been completed. And then the cry shall come forth, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And in the ages to come, eons upon eons, the body of believers shall show forth his glory and majesty forever and ever." Hallelujah. As we walk in the covenant that God has given to us, as we walk in the anointing that God has given to us, as we walk in the breed of believers that he's called us to be, the glory made manifest, the glory of God made manifest in this earth, that others would see, that their eyes would be opened spiritually and naturally, that they would see the truth of who God is and what he's doing now in this time, in this age. Whenever I hear the psalm that says, the psalm and in Chronicles also, "For you are good and your hesed endures forever," I can't help but think that these people knew that he saw the end already taking place. That when you walk in covenant, I want to say it was Jerry Savelle, but I know others have said it as well, that if you could live your life without fear of failing, what would you do? You see, that's what hesed makes you realize. Failing is not an option. He's already seen the covenant end. He's already seen how the finish would be. So we can walk in courage and boldness so that we know he's fulfilling every work of his plan. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your covenant. We thank you, Lord, that you are a mighty God, that you've established an anointing on each and every person in this body, that you've called us by your name, that you've called us into this place, that you've called us to walk in the fullness of God on our lives. And Father, I just pray over each and every person here in this room, Father, that if they're on the path, that they would see the next step to go further into the next place that you have for them. Father, if they've strayed from the path, that you would show them the way back. Father, that you have never canceled the plan, but Father, you have and know exactly how they can get right back on the place that they've been called to be. Father, I thank you for the increase of the anointing as we go further into deeper of the understanding, the revelation of the covenant we have with you, that our lives have been knit together, that you and us and you, that we would abide continually with you, that we would abide fully with you, operating in the supernatural place that you've called us to be, operating in the fullness of anointing that you've called us into. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing, increase, and moving forward of your spirit in Jesus' name. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing at work. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing at work. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing at work in this place today. Isidrakatu. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Isidrakatu hosoto dorekite. Me isidraka hasun dorekateya. Be edrekateya. Do osonde dedekiata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost presence, Lord. Your Holy Ghost presence in their lives today. Your Holy Ghost presence as they go forth today. That they're keen to your guidance, that they hear your voice, they know your voice, and they walk in the fullness of everything that you have for them on this day, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you all want to stand, and we'll Father out of here. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that we are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father,